the and bread and water for a month.
And who was it? Was it the Presbytery that decided that then, or who?
Well, I can't quote without the reference here, but it was the authorities anyway. Yes, oh, right. It was with the Presbytery.
Mercy, I had no idea they had that much power, that they could put folk to the colonies, my goodness.
And stay in on the Kirk. The choir, at that time, the praise was led by a presenter who gave the keynote and led the praise. And the choir said they wanted a younger man, more up to date. When he had was old, his tunes were out of date. And all that. Anyway, they agreed and a younger man was appointed. And sometime shortly after that, at a Kirk service there, the minister announced the psalm and the new presenter stuck up a bright tune and the congregation started, but the old presenter was in the congregation and he started the old tune and the older folk in the congregation followed him and the younger ones followed the new one and so they continued to the end.
Some folk are very determined, I do. So did they not have an organ or anything? That would be a Victorian thing.
Oh no, they just they. Mm-hmm. Well, they had a desk below the pulpit, supposed to be, and actually, again, my mother sat in a clearing out somewhere in Mary. But of course, the psalm tunes all in names, and I have three or four of these cards that he set on the front of his desk, like French or Kilmarnock or whatever. So they might go to a museum sometime too. Mm-hmm. But my great-grandfather was a presenter in Harry. That's why we have this.
Mm. Was that something you could choose to do, or did you?
You'd
need to have a good ear, obviously.
Well, he was appointed by the congregation to lead the praise. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The local man.
Mm-hmm. And did they do that the same way they do it in the Free Kirk, was singing the phrases back?
No, I don't think it. I think as far as I know, he more or less would sing over the tune and then they all sang in unison, not in the way you say. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of that.
Mm-hmm. So, I was just thinking stories of the Finstone minister, I think that's once I've read. That Reed was it, was the eccentric one, who seen a sleeping member of the congregation through the Bible at him and said, if you can't hear the scripture, at least feel it.
And Harry, my mother said, what once the minister reproved two women for discussing somebody's dress rather than listening to the sermon, reproved them for the pulpit.
Oh my goodness.
But again, in Finstone, maybe it was the same minister that Patricia said, but he fell out with some man, and the man decided to leave the Kirk, but he did it with ceremony. He went to the Kirk, and he waited in the porch till the minister was in the pulpit, ready to begin his sermon, and he walked into the Kirk, picked up his Bible, and walked out.
Some characters, that's for sure, my goodness. So the minister would have had a manse, of course.
Oh, yes.
And a stipend. Would they have anything else?
Oh, the glebe. Well, he's the right to grazing in this glebe stand. Still, it is glebes, only 14 acres or something like that.
But so he could put, what could he put horses on that?
Well, he could rent it out, I suppose, but he could do, grazing for his horse, if he had a horse, or a cow, if you wanted him to milk and things like that. But every parish had its glebe.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Don't you see things with stipends and being paid in kind and ministers complaining about having to go around clicked and all this bits and pieces of whatever.
Yes, we should be in Ireland. Should be speaking home and I could go for the references, but never mind.
We'll come back to it.
Oh yeah, we're exploring all sorts of things just now, and then we can go back and we can see if we want to get into more detail about things. We're just getting a kind of flow.
Oh well, we're deep in the Kirk anyway, and the Kirk and Stennis, you find a story in peculiar people, the Kirk and Stennis was a thatch Kirk, at that time. hailed down with summons, Heather summons, and took it to them. So, women that had family without being married, they had wind a clue of summons as punishment, more or less. Now, a clue of summons was if a man laid some ball about this road, you know, and a man laying on it with touches round at each side for a clue. Anyway, whether there was this was no sufficient punishment for the punishment, they had to win two clues or summons, which meant a fair amount of pulling a heather. Anyway, then whether this was effective in stopping the fatherless bairns or not, I don't know. But there was no summons in the kirk near Thatchy. So they thought they'd turn down the punishment, so it said that the minister announced for the pulpit, built bastard bairns the old price of summon clue apiece.
Mm-hmm. And were there other kind of punishments that they had in the church?
Oh, well, the man used to, they were, he'd a monetary fine. And they said that when man insisted on getting a receipt for his money, and the minister asked, why did you insist? Well, to show that I'm paid for that sin anyway.
A fair point, fair point. So I suppose, I mean, most folk would have gone to the kirk.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been unusual if you didn't go.
But mind on if they, well, most were in agriculture, which meant it was a 24-hour day and 7-day week. And this is the only occasion where you're stimulated to tidy yourself up, put on a finer suit of clothes, and go to the kirk. But then the point is that you walk to the kirk. And you would not walk singly, your neighbours and so on like that, you would walk in groups, and lots of news would be turned over. Whereas now, you go to the kirk yourself in a car, and listen to the sermon, come back home, it's not the same social. But it was well, part of the social life, and it is, well, kept the community together to a certain extent.
And could no work be done at all on the Sunday then?
Well, it was restricted, but again, mind on that.